Father God, we thank you for Chris. Thank you for his heart for you. Thank you for your word to us through him. Thank you that by your Spirit, you empower him to speak your words. And by your Spirit, you empower us to hear and receive in our hearts all that you want to say to us. Amen. Thank you, Chris.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You're allowed to talk to me. It's okay. My name's Chris, and it's great to be with you this morning. And I'm a part of the team here at Christchurch, and with my wife Helena and Jessica and Rafi, our two young ones. We've been here, it's going to be 10 years in August. 10 years. It's 10 years in August. Amazing. And for those of you who don't know, I actually became a Christian in this church as a teenager. So I have a long history with Christchurch, especially the part of the church where some of your kids are right now. That's where I became a Christian when I was about 14 years old. So it's great to be with you this morning. And today we're going to be in the book of Colossians. So if you've got a Bible with you, or you've got your phone, however you want to read this morning, we're going to be in the book of Colossians. We're going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to open that out together in a few moments' time. But before we do that, I wonder, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you convinced yourself that you believed something, or you talked about something in a way that you thought you believed something, but when you were faced with the practical reality of that thing, you realized that maybe you didn't believe it as much as you thought you did? Has anyone ever experienced something like that? Yeah, a few people brave enough to show their hands. I've definitely experienced that on a whole bunch of levels. I remember in my younger days, I had a whole bunch of fairly random jobs. My most random job, I think, was I was a professional ironer. It's a real thing. I used to iron for money. When I graduated university and I didn't really know what I was going to do with my life, I went home for a while and worked in a sort of posh laundrette and ironed people's shirts and bed sheets. I didn't realize people ironed bed sheets until I had to do it myself for people. And so I did that for a while. But one of the other random jobs that I did at a very similar point in time in my life was that I worked for a charity that I guess its aim was to help disadvantaged children in Bath, those coming from deprived areas and didn't have opportunities to do certain things. And in this job, my particular role was to take disadvantaged teenagers on day trips, doing things that they would maybe never have got the opportunity to do before, which was fine when it was like, you know, the water park and horse riding and stuff like that. It was less fine when it came to things like caving and abseiling and the things. One of the things that we talked about with the kids a lot, we tried to instill in them this belief that it was all about being brave. It was about taking risks. It was about being courageous together and doing all this stuff. And we would talk to them about this when they weren't fighting with each other. And then it came to the day, and we did this, I think, on the same day, caving and abseiling. Now, does anyone like caving here? I do not understand how your mind works. Does anyone just find caving the most terrifying thought? Quite a few people. Great. So for me, caving is one of those things that I just, not my thing. And so I found myself caving with this group of teenagers, and I managed to get myself to the back of the group just to make sure that if I could exit the cave, or I thought I could exit the cave, I would be able to at any point. But the other activity was abseiling. Now, we're just talking this language all the time: take a risk, be brave, be courageous, do the thing, you know, all the stuff. And we got to the top of what appeared to be to me a mountain. It was probably like no taller than the archway. And it got to the top, and I just couldn't do it. I absolutely bottled it. And in front of all these teenagers, I got to the edge and I looked over and I walked back down. I thought that I had instilled, not just in these kids, this bravery mentality, this courageous risk-taking, go do your thing. I actually thought maybe I talked myself into believing that it was maybe something that I could do as well, and it absolutely wasn't. The way in which I lived my life in that moment said more about what I actually believed than the words that I had spoken into the lives of those young people. Someone once said that what you live is what you really believe. Everything else is so much religious talk. What you live is what you really believe. Everything else is so much religious talk. I think it's easy to think that we believe something and even to talk about it in a way that implies we believe it. And yet when it comes to walking out our life day to day and we're faced with the reality of that thing, maybe we don't believe it as much as we thought we did. The title, if you're taking notes, the title for our session this morning is Walking the Walk. Walking the Walk. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 9. Okay, Colossians. For this reason, Paul writes, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's really easy, particularly I think in the way that we often do faith in the West, it's really easy to convince ourselves, to talk ourselves into believing something that doesn't actually get walked out always in the way that we live. So maybe I believe in financial generosity, but Lord, please, not that much, you know? God, not that much. Or maybe I believe in forgiveness of other people. But God, it's just not that person, you know? Just not that one. Or maybe you believe in that overwhelming grace of God, which covers over everything in our life. Maybe you believe in that, but you can't let go of the thing that you did yesterday. You just can't let go of the mistake you made. It's really easy to think that you believe something until you're faced with the reality of it in front of you. The way that we walk out our lives often says a lot more about what we really believe than the things that we think about or the things that come out of our mouths. Walking the walk. And I don't want to trivialize this or make it sound like an easy thing, but it is really it's an exposing thing, isn't it? It's an exposing thing to be confronted with an idea that we thought we believed when actually when we live it out, when maybe it shows us another reality. The amazing thing is that this life of discipleship that some of us in the room are on, it is a walk, isn't it? It's a walk. It's step by step. It's ongoing. It's working itself out in us all the time. It's a walk. You know, many translations translate verse 10 when it says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Lots of translations translate that as walking worthy. Walking a life that is worthy of the Lord. Walking a life that is worthy. And I really like the translations where walking is used, mainly because it's a better translation. But I also prefer it because it's about movement. Walking implies movement. And movement in our discipleship is really, really important. Movement. Walking. Step by step by step. I think I've said this here before, but when the Bible talks about following Jesus, what that really literally in translation means, it means to walk with him down the road in union with him. That's what that really means. To follow Jesus means to walk in union with him down the road. That's what discipleship is all about. That's what following Jesus is all about. It's a union that is walked out day by day. So let's ask one of those classic, wonderful Christian questions. I haven't been asked this for years. How's your walk with Jesus? Anyone else? Anyone been asked that? How's your walk with Jesus this morning? How's your walk with Jesus? How are you walking with Jesus right now? Maybe you're not. Maybe you were walking, but you just sort of stopped along the way. Maybe you're stationary right now in your walk with Jesus. Maybe you're unsure about what the next step is. Maybe you feel like you have close union with Jesus on your walk, or maybe there's a separation. The life that you and I are living out right now, here today, tells us a whole lot about the things that we really believe. How is your walk with Jesus? And so in our verses in Colossians this morning, you may have noticed there are two so that's. Two so that's. Okay, so we've got the bit in verse 10. So in verse 9 it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge and will of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may walk a life, live out a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. The first, so that. The second, so that, comes in verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you. And it goes on. Two, so that. These are, I guess like two, I don't want to say destination, because destination's the wrong word, because it implies that there's like an end point that you reach and you sort of tick the box and you're done. I don't want, destination's the wrong word, but it's kind of like, it's a location, it's a place, or maybe a goal. It's the consequence of the outworking of some of the foundations of discipleship in our lives. The so that's. They are like a place, a destination. It's not the right word, but hopefully you know what I mean. Two things. Walking a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. And number two, have great endurance and patience. And there are some foundations and some characteristics given here that enable us to walk towards these places in our discipleship. To walk towards these places. Okay. Place one. Living a life, walking a life that's worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way. There is a foundation given here to that being made possible. Now, I'm sure there are a whole load of people in the room this morning who really have that strong desire to want to live a life, to walk out a life that is worthy of God and to please him in every way. I'm sure there are a whole host of people in the room this morning who desire that in their lives. There's a foundation given here that enables us to walk towards that place. Here it is, verse 9. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Walking out a life that is worthy and pleasing to God and pleasing Him in every way is founded on the wisdom and the understanding of the Spirit. And it is continually asking to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now, sometimes we get ourselves into tricky situations as followers of Jesus because we live out our own version of our lives in whatever way we think we should. And we kind of tack our faith sometimes onto the side of it and hope for the best and just it'll be fine. These verses here depict for us a radical discipleship that is wholly founded on who He is, on His wisdom and His understanding and the knowledge of His will. Continually asking to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Continually. Knowledge is a really interesting one, isn't it? And in the kingdom of God, knowledge or the thirst for knowledge is fine. It's actually good. As long as that knowledge is not just intellect. Okay? Knowledge in the kingdom of God is a good thing. The pursuit of knowledge is a good thing. As long as it's not just to puff up your mind and give you more information and improve your intellect. The kind of knowledge that Paul is writing about here, the kind of knowledge that we see so often in the Bible, when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's talking about an intimate experience of God, a personal invitation from Him to walk with Him. Knowledge is not just an intellect. It's an encounter. It's a meeting with God. It's something that you are invited towards in intimacy. Paul talks about the kind of knowledge that so plays out in your life, it impacts everything that you do. It's about the formation of your character. That's the kind of knowledge that we're talking about here. It's not so that I can recite everything correctly and do everything perfect. The Pharisees were great at that, weren't they? And Jesus didn't speak very well about their knowledge. It says somewhere else in the Bible that people praise God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. The kind of knowledge that we're talking about this morning is the invitation towards an intimate encounter with a God who will absolutely form and shape the whole of your life and your character, if you want it. That's the kind of knowledge that we're talking about this morning. What we know and believe about God is often most starkly exposed by the way that we choose to live out our lives. Will I actually be generous with my money? Will I actually choose to forgive the person who hurt me? Will I really accept the overwhelming grace of God for the mistake that I made yesterday that really hurt that person or whatever it was? Will I actually allow Him to forgive me? Will I let myself off the hook? The great thing about walking with Jesus is, though, that it's step by step. It's ongoing. The invitation is to keep walking with great endurance and patience. You know when Peter, there's a guy called Peter in the Bible, you know when he steps out, he walks on the water? You know that amazing moment where he meets Jesus, he's in the boat, Jesus walking on the water, and Jesus calls Peter out of the boat. Peter walks on the water. How many of you know that both Peter's walking and Peter's sinking revealed something about what he really believed? Both his walking and his sinking. So his walking out revealed that he believed something that absolutely is impossible was possible. And his sinking revealed that as he became more aware of the humanity around him and the elements around him, as his focus transitioned, that revealed something about what he believed. And that isn't that so many of us, so much of the time. Sometimes we believe in the miracle and the supernatural power and the, all the, sometimes we, yeah, come on. And sometimes we're just so aware of everything that's going on around us. It feels so overwhelming and we just don't know what to do with anything. Doesn't that speak about who we are so often in our faith? You know, purely from a human sense, that Peter's decision to walk out obviously made no sense. There's not many people stepping out of the boat. It was when the storm became more present to him that the sinking occurred. Here's the thing. When Jesus responds to him, the Bible says that Jesus reached out his hand immediately to catch him. And he says, what does he say? He says, Peter, you are of little faith. Why did you doubt? And often what we do is we read that sentence from Jesus and we attribute a harsh rebuke onto Jesus. And we think, goodness, isn't that unfair that Jesus rebuked Peter for having no faith when he stepped out in the first place? What about if I step out and, I've said this before here, but remember, what Jesus is really saying there, in terms of what that phrase means, it means, Peter, you have underdeveloped faith, is what that really means. You have underdeveloped faith, as in, there's an opportunity for you now, Peter, to keep developing your faith, to keep walking with me. Don't let this moment affect the way you walk out. Don't stop walking with me now. Peter, you have underdeveloped faith. All of us, in some way, are developing in our faith, right? There's always an opportunity to keep walking with Jesus. It's just that some of us have stopped. Some of us stop walking. For whatever, maybe it's a disappointment of a situation. I don't know, whatever it is for you. But the invitation is always to keep walking. Destination one, place one, context one, however you want to phrase it. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. If you were to do a quick audit of your life and the way you make decisions, I wonder how much of your life, how many of your decisions would be founded on the pleasing of people. I wonder. If you were to like analyze the way you live your life and the way you do things, my sort of silly example, whenever I think about this, is as a parent of young children, and you're often in like parks or playgrounds. And as a parent, when my kid does something like not even bad, but you know, have you ever been in a situation where you tell off your child for the benefit of the other parents? Rather than the fact that you actually believe your child did something wrong. Any parents ever done that? I've done that all the time. And it's because I want the other parents to know that I am a good parent. That I can discipline my children when they need it. My child did wrong and I'm going to make sure you know that I know my child did something wrong. I wonder if you were to do just a quick sweep of your life and the decisions you make, how many of those decisions would be foundationally based on the fact that you actually need to please someone or make someone else happy? The radical life of a disciple, as played out here in Colossians, is to walk out a life that is worthy of God and to please him in every way. We're called to please God in every way. Not to primarily please the people around you. And the foundation of a life that is lived in this way is to be continually asking to be filled with the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and the understanding that the Holy Spirit gives, which means that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is very, 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 very important. Developing, cultivating a life, a real relationship with the Holy Spirit is absolutely key if you want to live a life walked out worthy of God and pleasing him in every way. Absolutely essential. Really, really, really important. Okay, nearly finished. So the first place is all about walking a life worthy and pleasing God in every way. The second place, the second so that, is so that we can live our lives with great endurance and patience. Endurance and patience are not like the exciting words, are they, in this passage? They're not like the things that really fire us up. I'm going to endure. I'm going to be full of patience today. They're not like the exciting things in this passage, but this is part of what the passage builds to. So that we may have great endurance and patience. And this place that Paul is leading us towards comes out of, is birthed out of three characteristics that come out of the first place. Okay, go with me. Number one, this is in verse 10. So we've got so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then number one, bearing fruit in every good work. Number two, growing in the knowledge of God. And number three, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So that, second place, you may have great endurance and patience. Three characteristics of a life that is walked out worthy of God and pleasing him in every way. Bearing fruit in every good work. Sometimes it's really easy to constrain our perspective of the will of God to very specific things. So when we think about the will of God in our lives, we're like, God, I'm asking for your will for this really specific thing over here, which is absolutely fine. We're allowed to do that. But Paul later writes in Colossians, he says, whatever you do it for the name of Jesus. Whatever you do. So there's a place for the specific asking of God's will. But also, friends, remember, it's whatever you do. Whatever you do. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you do. Do it for the name of Jesus. Bearing fruit in every good work is connecting those two realities together. It's not just in the thing that you necessarily feel most connected to, or the thing that you feel most called to, or the place where you spend your most time, and then you just kind of flop and forget the rest. It's the whole of your life. That's the radical invitation that Colossians gives to us this morning. It's everything. The whole of your life. Bearing fruit in every good work is connected to Paul's later statement, whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Doesn't matter what it is. Do it for Jesus. Whatever you do. Number two, growing in the knowledge of God. We already touched on the knowledge of God. Knowledge in the kingdom is not about puffing up our minds and increasing our intellect. Growing in the knowledge of God here in Colossians is intimately connected to his ability to shape our reality, shape our lives. It's birthed in an encounter with him. That's what the knowledge of God in the kingdom is really all about. And number three, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And I guess this is where we begin to land, because the central theme at the end of this, in our verses this morning, the central theme is all about his ability. It's his ability. It's his will. It's the knowledge of his will. It's the wisdom and understanding of his Spirit. It's being strengthened with his power. So that you may have great endurance and patience. If you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you know that it's an ongoing process. You need great endurance and you need great patience to be able to walk out this radical life of discipleship that he calls us to. We need that. And so whilst it might not be the like most exciting thing, it actually really is one of the most exciting things to be able to continually walk out with faith your life with Jesus in everything that you do, bearing fruit in every good work, being strengthened with his power, growing in the knowledge of God. The way that we live out our lives, the way that you choose to live out your life today, the decisions you make when you leave here or even when you are still here right now, tell you a lot about what you really believe. And so, as I'm sure we're all aware, the invitation of God towards us is not to just to convince ourselves that we believe something. Not to talk in such a way that tells other people that we believe it, but when faced with the reality, we can see that we don't. The invitation is to walk the walk. It's to walk and to keep walking along that road in union with Jesus. That's the invitation. It's a radical invitation to the whole of our lives. And that's the invitation that's faced with us this morning. My sense is as we've finished this part of our time together that there's an opportunity to pray for and with a whole load of people in a load of different situations. And maybe as you sit there this morning and you think about the things that we're talking about, maybe for you, you're just not walking with, you've never walked with Jesus before and you'd really like to. That's an invitation that's available to you this morning, and we would love to pray with you about that if that's you this morning and you feel stirred by what God is doing with us this morning. If you're not walking with Jesus but you'd like to, and you've never have but you'd like to, then we'd love to pray with you. Maybe for you, you're someone who has been walking with Jesus in the past, but you just somewhere along the line, you find yourself in a stationary position. It's not being walked out right now. And again, the invitation towards you is to take the next step. What's the next step for you? The invitation of Jesus is to walk with him. For some of you, the challenge here, I guess, is the continual asking for God's will and the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And we want to pray for you that God would give you a greater clarity of his will for your life, and that the Spirit would give you wisdom and understanding. For some of you, it's about the power of God. Some of you, you feel hungry for the power of God, and we can pray for you this morning for that. There's a whole load of things. So what I'm going to encourage us to do in a second is just to stand where we are, and then I'm just going to ask you just to make a move, to move somewhere. You can, if the seat in front of you is empty, just move to the seat in front of you. If there's an aisle, just move to the aisle. There's loads of space here at the front. And if there are people that would like to be prayed for, we have some people, we'll grab some people and there'll be people to pray for you and we'll make sure that some people get around you. So if our worship team want to jump up, that'd be great. And I'm going to invite us to stand to our feet as we respond together in what God is doing. The other group of people that I think would be really good to pray for is any of the people who struggle most with pleasing people over pleasing God. It'd be really good to pray for you this morning and pray for the equipping of God over you, that you would have the strength to change the way that you walk that part of your life out. Okay. Let's pause just for a moment. You can do whatever you want to do. Just relax with us. If this is not something you're used to, then please feel comfortable to sit, to walk around, to do whatever it is that is going to help you feel comfortable in this space. But we want to take some time to respond to what God, we believe God is alive. We believe he wants to meet with us and to change our lives. And we're going to invite him to do that this morning. So just pause for a moment. You might want to reflect on some particular things that God is saying to you at the moment, or challenges that you have in your heart. And as you reflect, I encourage you to make an invitation to the Holy Spirit. Really simple. Holy Spirit, come and do whatever it is that you would like to do now. That's really simple, isn't it? Just make that, if you're willing to, make that invitation towards Him now.